All glory, symbol devotees. All glory, Shishi, Shi, Guru, and Gauranga. Glory, Srila Prabhupada. Okay, so we're beginning a new chapter, chapter 22 of the 8th canto. Bali Maharaj surrenders his life. So I'm going to read the chapter summary to that, and then I'll read the translation to verse 1, and then we'll chant together verse 2, and there's a purport to that. The summary of this 22nd chapter is as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was pleased by the behavior of Bali Maharaj. Thus the Lord placed him on the planet Sutala, and there, after bestowing benedictions upon him, the Lord agreed to become his doorman. Bali Maharaj was extremely truthful. Being unable to keep his promise, he was very much afraid, for he knew that one who is deviated from truthfulness is insignificant in the eyes of society. An exalted person can suffer the consequences of hellish life, but he is very much afraid of being defamed for deviation from the truth. Bali Maharaj agreed with great pleasure to accept the punishment awarded him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bali Maharaj's dynasty, there were many asuras who because of their enmity towards Vishnu, had achieved a destination more exalted than that of many mystic yogis. Bali Maharaj specifically remembered the determination of Pallad Maharaj in devotional service. Considering all these points, he decided to give his head in charity as a place for Vishnu's third step. Bali Maharaj also considered how great personalities give up their family relationships and material possessions to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, they sometimes even sacrifice their lives for the satisfaction of the Lord, just to become his personal servants. Accordingly, by following the footsteps of previous acharyas and devotees, Bali Maharaj perceived himself successful. Well, Bali Maharaj, having been arrested by the ropes of Varuna, was offering prayers to the Lord. His grandfather, Pallad Maharaj, appeared there and described how the Supreme Personality of Godhead had delivered Bali Maharaj by taking his possessions in a tricky way. While Pallad Maharaj was present, Lord Brahma and Bali's wife, Vindhyavali, described the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. Since Bali Maharaj had given everything to the Lord, they prayed for his release. The Lord then described how a non-devotee's possession of wealth is a danger, whereas a devotee's opulence is a benediction from the Lord. Then, being pleased with Bali Maharaj, the Supreme Lord offered his disc to protect Bali Maharaj and promised to remain with him. Okay, this is text 1. Sukadeva Goswami said, "O King, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead was superficially seen to have acted mischievously towards Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj was fixed in his determination, considering himself not to have fulfilled his promise. He spoke as follows." Okay, so I'm going to read from, let's recite together text 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Balu Vacha Yadyutama Sloka Bhavan Mami Ritam Vacho Vyalikam Suras Varyam Manyate Karom Ritam Tannabhavet Palambanam Padam Tritiyam Kuru Shirni Me Nijam. Okay, somebody could chant. Mataji's? Okay, Matichis. Okay, word meanings. Shri Bali Vacha. Bali Maharaj said, Yadi, if, Uttama Sloka, O Supreme Lord, Bhavan, your good self, Mama, my, Iritam, promised, Vacha, words, Valikam, false, Suravarya, O greatest of all suras, demigods, Manyate, you think so, Karomi, I shall make it, Ritam, truth, Tat, that, promise, Na, not, Bhavet, will become, Palambanam, cheating, Padam, step, Tritiyam, the third, Kuru, just do it, Shirni, on the head, Me, my, Nijam, your lotus feet. Translation. Bali Maharaj said, O best personality of Godhead, most worshipable for all the demigods, if you think that my promise has become false, I shall certainly rectify matters to make it truthful. I cannot allow my promise to be false. Please, therefore, place your third lotus footstep on my head. Purport. Bali Maharaj could understand the pretense of Lord Vamanadeva, who had taken the side of the demigods and come before him as a beggar. Although the Lord's purpose was to cheat him, Bali Maharaj took pleasure in understanding how the Lord will cheat his devotee to glorify the devotee's position. It is said that God is good, and this is a fact. Whether he cheats or rewards, he is always good. Bali Maharaj therefore addressed him as Uttama Sloka, your lordship. He said, You are always praised with the best of selected verses. On behalf of the demigods, you disguised yourself to cheat me, saying that you wanted only 3 paces of land. But later you expanded your body to such an extent that with 2 footsteps you covered the entire universe. Because you were working on behalf of your devotees, you do not regard this as cheating. Never mind, I cannot be considered a devotee. Nonetheless, because although you are the husband of the goddess of fortune, you have come to beg, I must satisfy you to the best of my ability. So please do not think that I wanted to cheat you. I must fulfill my promise. I still have 1 possession, my body. You have taken my wealth, but still I have my body. When I place my body for your satisfaction, please put your third step on my head. Since the Lord had covered the entire universe with 2 steps, one might ask how Bali Maharaj's head could be sufficient for his third step. Bali Maharaj, however, thought that the possessor of wealth must be greater than the possession. Therefore, although the Lord had taken all his possessions, the head of Bali Maharaj, the possessor, would provide adequate place for the Lord's third step. Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Vaskacha Teshatarne. So as mentioned in the introduction, Prabhupada mentions here that one who has deviated from truthfulness is insignificant in the eyes of society. An exalted person can suffer the consequences of hellish life, but he is very much afraid of being defamed for deviation from the truth. So, this truthfulness is very important. It's one of the last legs standing in the age of Kali. Religiosity has four legs: mercy, austerity, truthfulness, and cleanliness. And this is the last age in the age of Kali. And so truthfulness belongs to those in human society. You can't expect an animal to be truthful. An animal can't make a promise. Only a human being can make a promise. So we make that promise as disciples. We make promise to the spiritual master. The first principles of purification are the four regulated principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat-eating, no gambling. And by following these principles, we break the pillars of sinful life, and then the roof of sinful activities will collapse. So we follow this, and These different sinful activities, they destroy the legs of religion. Just like we know that by intoxication, mercy is destroyed, and by illicit sex life, then cleanliness is destroyed. So by following these principles, we elevate ourselves to the mode of goodness. This is the qualification of a brahmana. He performs these austerities in spiritual life. So by following these rules and regulations, we will elevate ourselves to the platform of knowledge. Because only by elevating to the platform of knowledge and devotion can one get out of the clutches of Maya. Otherwise, it's not possible. One has to perform austerity. This is what's required in the human form of life. The human form of life is meant for vairagya, of jnana and vairagya. This is what this human form of life is meant for. So we have to study this knowledge, and which is jnana, and memorize this knowledge. And vairagya, one has to follow the instructions of this knowledge. So it's not simply a matter of being an armchair philosopher. One has to actually take up the process of Krishna consciousness, detach himself from material things, and also one has to attach oneself to Krishna. So it's not, you have to have both things. It's not simply, Srila Prabhupada says, we don't simply say no illicit sex, no intoxication, No. But there has to be something positive, some positive engagement. Otherwise, it's not possible to maintain these austerities. We chant Hare Krishna. That's a positive thing. And the negative thing is the avoiding the four principles of sinful life. So in this way, we advance and become Krishna conscious. So somebody may say that, oh, this devotional service, this Krishna consciousness is very difficult. How does one find the strength to follow the four regulator principles? But this is not our business. Our business, this is Krishna's business. We just have to follow Krishna. But if we want to cheat Krishna, then we'll be cheated. Not that Krishna will cheat us, but we'll put ourselves in such a situation that Maya could take advantage and capture us like that. So we have to depend on Krishna, follow the instructions of the spiritual master, and this way we'll be protected. Just like if somebody's in the in a dangerous situation, like you fall in a well, you may be walking in the countryside, and there's so many abandoned wells there that nobody knows about. And if you don't know, then you could fall in, and you fall down, and you're crying out, "Please help me, help me, help me." And then if somebody throws a rope down to get you out, and if you don't take advantage of that, then that's your misfortune. You have to at least hold on to the rope to get out. Not that you simply are still crying, "Help, help." No, you have to grab the rope. And the rope is to surrender to Krishna. Krishna says, "Abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear." So we have to grab on that rope. We have to grab on the rope of the instructions of the spiritual master, endeavor, and this way pull ourselves out of the well of material existence. So we have to follow the principles. We have to take it the positive and engagements. And by chanting Hare Krishna, it will give us the strength to follow these principles. Because Srila Prabhupada also mentions in a class that he says, if you don't chant 16 rounds a day, then we won't have sufficient strength to follow the four regulated principles. So we have to be very steadfast in this. And sometimes, and the devotees were mentioned, Prabhupada, they were saying to Prabhupada, sometimes the devotees are very busy and they don't have time to finish their rounds. And Prabhupada mentioned that if you don't have time to finish your rounds, then the system is that the next day you can't eat or sleep until you finish your rounds. And so that's a system. And he said that if you still can't finish your rounds because you were still so busy and you didn't even have time to even eat or sleep, I can understand you were very busy. But if you just say that you don't chant, but you have time to eat and sleep, then that's not acceptable. We have to chant, get the strength, the positive engagement. In this way, we could go on in our Krishna consciousness. So by this simple process of following these five things, chanting Hare Krishna, following the four regular principles, we will be able to create a revolution in society that's a select few. Prabhupada said the select few that follow these principles, they'll be able to create a revolution in the society. You don't expect that everybody will be on the highest platform of spiritual life. Just like if you go into a jewelry shop, you'll find only a few customers willing to pay for an expensive diamond. You won't find so many customers in that way. So you have to pay the price to get the expensive diamonds. So there, and similarly, to become a disciple, you have to pay the price of following these principles. And by doing so, you will be able to create a revolution, in the world like that. Okay. So these four regulator principles, they're very important, and by following them, we keep ourselves purified, and we show society how to act properly. And there's illicit sex life. So Prabhupada mentions that of the four regulated principles, illicit sex is very sinful. And by engaging in illicit sex life, then, as mentioned in the sixth canon of Srimad Bhagavatam, then all the other sinful activities come one after another. So this is just like we find Ajamil. He fell down with a prostitute, and in this way he engaged in all sorts of sinful activities, became a ruffian, a rogue, and a thief, and this way he fell down one after another. So, and by this in illicit activity, one has to suffer so much materially, so many diseases come. Prabhupada mentions this in a morning walk. He says this, by engaging in illicit sex life, then there's venereal disease, and from that comes so many other diseases like cancer and madness. So it just degrades oneself materially and spiritually. One just has to suffer like that. And then, of course, it creates unwanted progeny in society. That was Arjuna's one of Arjuna's argument to Krishna, that if the women are protected, then there'll be unwanted progeny, and they will create a hellish situation in the world. So this is what happens when the regulated principles aren't enforced, that there's so many disturbing elements in society. Srila Prabhupada mentions this also in connection with World War II. In World War II, so many men were killed, and this way the women weren't protected, and there was unwanted progeny, and there was this, from that came the hippie class in society, which is, you know, a useless class of men. Prabhupada mentions how they simply criticize, this is wrong, that's wrong, but you ask them to do anything, they will never do anything like that. So this is the reaction from a sinful life. And then people engage in abortion, which is a very demoniac, in which those who engage in such activities, they will they'll also be, next life, they'll be killed in the womb, and again they'll be killed in the womb, and this way there many, many years they won't see the light of the sun or the moon. So this is very contaminating. It's by engaging in illicit sex life, one cannot understand that one's not this body, because the first principle, the principle to understand one's not the body, one has to engage in tapasya. And tapasya, the first, the beginning of tapasya is brahmacharya, celibacy. So if one doesn't engage, one doesn't act on according to the principle of austerity, then there's no possibility to understand we're not these bodies. And that's the first principle of spiritual life, a first principle of knowledge, that I'm not this body. We could we commonly say like that, we can understand, just like we say my body, my hand, somebody's bleeding and they say that's my blood, but we're not this. We don't say I blood, we don't say where we say this is my house, I don't say it's I house. So as soon as we say my, it's one can understand that one's not that thing. And even in our throughout our life, we had so many bodies. We had a childhood's body, and a boyhood body, a childhood's body, then youth, an adult, and old age. So when we were little children, we could remember, oh, I was doing this, I was playing in this way. So we could remember that, even though we have a different body now. So that's the proof, Prabhupada says, that's a proof that I'm different from my body. Because the body is always changing, but I am the same. So then there are the regulator principles, intoxication. So this simply increases our bewilderment in the world. Intoxication. Prabhupada mentions how we're already intoxicated already by material enjoyment. And if upon that we engage in more intoxication, then where is the question of self-realization? It's not possible. We have to avoid this. And even Prabhupada himself, he mentioned this was like when he was a householder. Because we know there's so many intoxications, alcohol, drugs, and coffee, tea, and cigarettes. This is also considered intoxication. And so when Prabhupada was a householder, his wife was drinking tea. And Prabhupada said, he asked her to give up tea, and either tea or me. And she says, well, I'll accept tea. And then Prabhupada said, then I left. So he left and took sannyas because of tea. So this is not wanting in society all these intoxicating things. And then there's meat eating, which is causing havoc in society. People want peace. They want peace in society, but they don't care about peace for the animals. They simply want to kill them in very demoniac ways. And as like Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavatam, the calf is taken away from its mother, which we can't even describe what happens to it in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way, they torture the animals in various ways. So this understanding that we want peace in society, but to hell with the animals, this is Satan's philosophy. Prabhupada mentioned that, Satan's philosophy. So they suffer so many ways from this meat eating. Prabhupada mentions how they suffer from pyorrhea, which is gum disease. That's the least of their problems. And in this world, they have to suffer in so many wars, and they have to be tortured in various ways during these wars, like anything, because of the torture in the animals. So they want happiness, but there's always constantly a war. There's World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Middle East, so many things, so this will keep on going, and it won't stop unless they at least stop killing the animals. This is the most heinous activity. And so in this way, they suffer in this life. And in their next life, they have to suffer a hellish birth. It says that if by killing the cows, they have to suffer from a hellish birth for every hair on the cow's body. So in this way, not only in this life, but in the next. And then there's, of course, gambling, which is, Prabhupada mentions it, unnecessarily agitates the mind. And he also compares gambling. Somebody asked him, is mental speculation gambling? Prabhupada said, yes, it's also gambling. So this is no mental speculation. And many times Prabhupada throws in there when he mentions, four regular principles, gambling, and also no frivolous sports like that. So we should avoid these things. So, we follow these things, and this also mentioned in the introduction. We should satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And how do we satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? By satisfying the spiritual master. Just like if you want to please a very important man, if you give a little piece of candy to his son, then he'll be very much satisfied. So similarly, if we please the spiritual master, then automatically Krishna will be satisfied. And Prabhupada mentions satisfaction of the spiritual master in the fourth canto of Bhagavad Gita. He says that satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is a secret of advancement in spiritual life. So just by doing that, we become successful by pleasing the spiritual master. And by pleasing him means understanding, studying these books. He left these books for us to read and to understand. And to understand that happiness is in serving Krishna, not in this material world. There's no happiness in this material world. We think we're happy here, but how can you be happy in a place where there is birth, death, disease, and old age? There's no question of being happy in such a place. It's simply a miserable situation. And even if you think that there is happiness here, that still you have to give it up. You have to die. So there's no point in trying to become happy in this world. But one should attain for that happiness which is eternal. Because that's our nature. Because we are eternal, we can only be happy in the eternal abode. Therefore, any comforts or happiness which does not warrant an eternal life is simply an illusion for the eternal living being. And those who understand this, who factually understand this, they could sacrifice any amount of material happiness to achieve Brahma-sokhyam, or absolute happiness. So this absolute happiness is there in serving Krishna. Any material happiness, says that the ocean of bhakti, one drop of the ocean of bhakti, stands beyond comparison with an ocean of happiness derived from any other activity. This is mentioned in the Nectar Devotion. And even Brahmananda, or the bliss emerging into the Brahman effulgence, if it's multiplied 100 trillion times, it can't even compare to an atomic fraction of the ocean of devotional service. So in this way, we should become serious and serve Krishna, and this way we'll be happy both in this life and the next. So we could stop there. Are there any questions on any of these points? Yes?
Thank you for an excellent presentation. It was enjoyable. I'm just curious, some of these things that we're supposed to be staying away from or regulated. For instance, if Prabhupada's wife didn't drink the tea, then Prabhupada would never leave and spread Krishna consciousness. So, for instance, if there was a Krishna consciousness being spoken about in tea houses, where usually it's gossip, it'd be for really proliferating Krishna consciousness instead of being a catalyst for it. Or it'd be a catalyst for it instead of being in opposition.
So what's your question?
Well, if it's used for Krishna consciousness, some of these regulatory principles which we're supposed to avoid, it can be actually beneficial, just like Prabhupada's wife drinking tea was beneficial to the world for Prabhupada leaving.
It's not necessary that, anyway, Prabhupada said that he left because of that, but, Krishna could, he can have left in another reason like that. It's not a question of he left because she did this. And we can't make an excuse, well, I'll use this in Krishna conscious. The thing is, it has to be authorized by Krishna. It has to be authorized by the spiritual master. If one simply concocts, well, I could use this to preach, then that's simply mental speculation, which is condemned here. No gambling, no mental speculation. One has to hear from the authority. That's what perfect knowledge is. Perfect knowledge is coming down. Perfect knowledge is a parampara system. It's deductive knowledge coming down to the submissive hearer who is bona fide by service and surrender. So that's how we get perfect knowledge. Anything else is simply mental speculation and by mental speculation, you'll never understand the absolute truth. You could go on for at the speed of mind for millions of years, and you'll never understand. You'll never understand.
So in that sense, is there something in the properties of tea that will keep you away from your spiritual advancement?
Yes, it's intoxication. It makes you, just like we, Prabhupada mentions here, it bewilders, you're already intoxicated already. So if you take more intoxication, then how will you become self-realized? It's not possible, you know.
Thank you.
Yes, Alma Bhakta.
Thank you for your class. I just want to add to your point. We have to understand what are we striving for when we are trying to achieve Krishna consciousness. To do this or to accomplish it, we must have a concentrated, focused, steady, balanced, calm mind. Intoxication does the very opposite of it. It unsteadies the mind. It distorts the mind. Mm-hmm. It creates sometimes illusions in the mind. For example, a person gets very, very drunk. He starts seeing things and thinking things that may not even be there. One has to overcome the lower emotions of lust and anger and greed and envy and illusion and madness and those things. When you're intoxicated, those emotions become more exacerbated, more intense, because we're on the lower platform of thinking. We're on the higher platform of thinking. Those lower emotions are either suppressed or they are eradicated. And when they are eradicated, higher emotions take their place, such as patience and understanding, love, affection, caring, thoughtfulness, and God, attention to God. So if we want to achieve God realization, we have to have that steady mind focused on Krishna. If we can't do that, then there's no, as you just mentioned, there's no question of God realization. All we will have is chaotic mind, and that's it. And we may even be in the illusion that we are God realized in that chaotic mind.
Yeah. Yeah, these principles, if they're not followed, like I mentioned, by following these principles, one, situate in the mode of goodness. So if you don't follow them, then you're in the modes of passion, ignorance, which so many symptoms come from that, like that. Okay? So we could stop there. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga.